Once upon a time, someone told you you weren't doing enough.
They didn't see you press through and celebrate what a win felt like for you, yet forced you into a version of pain you could actually live without. Someone walked away from you without conversation, clarity, or reason. Somewhere deep down, this made you feel like nothing about you or what you do is ever going to be enough. So you keep going and going and going. You throw your whole self, your whole identity, your whole desire into survival so that you can survive the lack you were living all in your work. Work that is meaningful, yes, yet it still drains you. It takes from you. It's still not filling the holes. It's showing up in your personal relationships, romantic relationships, your friendships. You've thrown your whole identity into a version of survival that is not even yours. The surface tells you there's not enough money. You're not doing enough. You're not being enough because your mom, your grandmother, and the women in your lineage fought for scraps. You have to do the same thing. That if you're not in chaos and accepting the comfort of this struggle, then you're not doing enough. That you have to take whatever is offered, stuff your emotions, and just do what's got to be done. That what you may want to do or what is aching at you in your soul to do is worthless. But whose truth is that? Does that actually feel good in your body? Whose blueprint is that? Is it what you want to inherit or what needs to be healed? In this episode, we are moving from inherit scarcity into alignment, joy, and ease. Because let's be real, many of us have inherited survival patterns that have been rooted in poverty and scarcity and hustle culture. But here's the fun part. We get to choose thriving and the continued journey to receive the generational joy. Let's get into it. When we came here on divine mission with a divine plan and a divine purpose. A path meant to be walked in our authenticity. But along the way, life happened. Generational patterns got in the way. Systemic barriers showed up. And we were left to adapt and adopt imprints, stories, and survival modes that were never meant to define us forever. Here, we hold space, sacred space, to heal those narratives, those traumas, those generational and systemic barriers, guiding you back home to your true divine self and your soul's calling. This is the Soul Work Podcast, your home for healing with love, so you can live out your soul work in truth and power. Welcome to Soul Work with Love, the podcast, where soul meets strategy, spirit meets systems, and healing becomes your legacy. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Soul Work with Love, the podcast. My name is Love Ashley Elaine, and I am here to be your guide through all things of doing your soul's work for your soul's work. This episode, we are tapping into those generational things that have been passed down to us that some of us may not realize are keeping us in scarcity, right? Scarcity of our emotions, scarcity of peace, scarcity of money, scarcity of divine intellect of who we are, and how we can move into our thriving season. So prepare your mind, prepare your hearts as we get into it. And welcome back to the Soul Work with Love, the podcast. So this episode, we're diving into moving away from generational scarcity and into the generational thriving. I think we've talked so much about generational trauma and the patterns and all of those things. Yet we have forgotten that there is also, along with that passing down of the things that have been unhealed, that some of us have been called and cultivated and created to break and change, there is a lot of generational blessings. There are a lot of generational joy, peace, right? All of those things. I think we focus so much on the trauma and the things that we've had to endure to move away from that we also forget that there are things that we have been gifted in our bloodline that are fruitful, right? We are just also the ones to use it and transmute the traumas and the pains with those gifts and that joy and all of those things. So we're doing three different segments here. The first one is understanding those survival patterns, right? What are those patterns that we've been unconsciously gifted, right? That we are working towards releasing and moving away from. Second segment is choosing to thrive. So what does that look like, right? When we are moving away from the patterns that have been harming us, that our family, that have been embedded into our system, right? And remember, I'm always talking about our body being the first system. What are those, and what does it look like to choose thriving? And then the third segment is, how do we redefine success and live in our soul's alignment? So this first segment, understanding survival patterns, we are looking at the generations of poverty and scarcity. And in order for us to understand poverty and scarcity, we have to look at how, one, it is a mindset and an embodiment, right? And that, two, the reason why it is a mindset and an embodied behavior and belief is because of slavery, the Jim Crow era, segregation, right? All of these moments in time that have allowed for poverty and scarcity to be. So, and it, those are not the only eras that I'm thinking about, or that I'm speaking about, or that matter, right? When we're looking at, I mean, dig into your family's history, right? It's deeply rooted into the context and the soil of this country, of the country you live in, if you're not in the United States, right? Really looking at what is the history, the systemic history of my people on this land, and then how has that created a impoverished and scarce mindset, and how have we embodied that? Right. So I can only speak for, because I'm a Black woman, I can only speak for Black people, Black Americans on this land. And I can only speak for my Black ass family. Okay. So how do these patterns actually get passed down? One, it's learned behavior. Right. Diving into early childhood, you understand, and being a parent, you understand that when you're not aware of your own patterns, or maybe not even aware of your family's patterns, like that set, that system of pattern behavior, it's easy to pass it down. Right. It's easy to just like create another robot, create another pattern, create another generation that says this is how things are done. When it finally hits that person in the family that has awakened to a different truth, right, has come here to live a different type of life. That is the person, like I talked about last week, being chosen. That is the person that is looking at these learned behaviors And it's saying, oh, hell no. This doesn't feel good. I don't know why it doesn't feel good yet, but something about this is not okay for me. For me, right? It may be okay for you. It may be okay for the people in your family. It may be okay for that lineage, that part of the lineage. It doesn't have to be okay for you. So we have to understand how, like, we have to understand that a lot of these patterns, right, get passed down through learned behavior. And let me just pause here and say, when we're talking about these behaviors, because of the mindset and the embodiment, they turn into behaviors, right? What you think you believe, and what you believe you embody, what you embody, you act out. Who in your family has stopped and looked at that programming? Who is actually taking the moment in time to look at that programming? Are you the one that is called to look at that programming? And I bid you one further. If you are listening to this episode right now, you are. Because whatever the mindset has been, it was embodied as this is who I am, so this is how I have to act out. Be, do, have. I talk about it often, right? Be, do, have. So once you embody poverty and scarcity mindsets, you believe that you're only deserving of that type of experience. Until you're exposed to something else, right? And then once you're exposed to something else, now you're tussling internally with, but this is what I've been taught. This is what I've always been told that I was supposed to have, that I was supposed to be like, that I was supposed to live like. And then the other thing that you've been exposed to is like, but this is like, this is attracting me. Something happens internally when I, like, something happened internally when I saw that, or when I experienced that, or when I witnessed that. Another way that these patterns get passed down is through protection and love. Because of what our ancestors have endured, right, through the systems of oppression, through racism, through poverty, through redlining, through separation, through, you know, through all of these different moments in time, survival is seen as love and protection, because it's like, well, I still love my family and need to protect them and provide for them. So I'm gonna take all the scraps and see what I can make of it. Right? It was the evidence of resilience and care, right? It was almost like the answer to what the system was doing, not even attempting to do, but what the system was doing, which was oppressing the people. So survival was that thing, right? And even like hustle, I think this is where we get that hustle culture from. Survival and by any means necessary, right? When people say by any means necessary, it didn't always mean it, like anything positive, let me just say that. But when like the survival was a response to, or like a defense mechanism to, the oppression that was happening. So now we have to ask ourselves, am I surviving to prove something to the system, or prove something to my family, or prove something to myself, or prove something to, like, am I staying in this mindset and embodiment of survival to prove or to gain, right, love and protection? Or Am I in it because I don't know anything else yet? Survival and poverty and scarcity has always been seen as like being sacrificial, right? It's like you gotta the level of sacrifice was always proven in how tired you were and how much you were giving away and how much time you committed to something and how much time away from your family you were giving up, right? All of those things. But we're missing the fact that was all rooted in the oppression. It was all rooted in oppression, and that's where the poverty and scarcity came from. Right. Now I'm thinking about like a line of multiple things that this has created. Right. So survival has always been a response to oppression. And I'm not just talking about Black and brown people. Now I'm thinking about the Holocaust. Right. In order for those people to survive and no more people get killed off. I mean, in order for them to stay alive, they had to sacrifice and live in poverty and scarcity. Right? That's what happened. Like that's the result of what Hitler created. Right? It's almost like when hate is breeded, survival is the response to prove something different and to stay alive, like to literally keep having breath in your body. I'm not talking about making sure bills are paid. I'm talking about like making sure that you still have breath in your body. So you take all these little things, these scraps here and there. And if I'm wrong on this story, please somebody email me and let me know. bookaeyoga@ashleyelaine.me. I'm not opposed to being corrected at all. Right. So once we understand our survival patterns, right? Once we understand how those patterns were passed down to us, right? And look at your own survival patterns. I think one that we can attest to is the constant, "I'm tired." Well, here's my question. How much are you allowing yourself to rest? Are you eating properly? Because some of those behaviors have been passed down also. So once we understand those survival patterns that have been passed down to us from through our family system, a lot of them end up turning into like hustle as worth, right? It's like, how much work can I do to prove that I'm worthy? That's also a scarcity mindset. The scarcity of not having enough ownership of self, value of self, worthiness of self, love of self. Proof, you have to have evidence of why you should be deserving of love and protection and valued. The belief that your value equals constant grinding is like, we got to release that. We have to release that, right? Poverty isn't just about money. Scarcity isn't just about not having enough money. It's also in how, like, we can have a impoverished mindset about love. We can have a impoverished mindset about health and wellness. We can have a impoverished mindset about spirituality. We can have a impoverished mindset about education. We can have a impoverished mindset like on all of those things, right? It comes down to, I mean, there's people that can live in the most treacherous areas in cities throughout this country, throughout this world, and not have one lick of impoverished mindset around love and commitment and loyalty and integrity. It's not always about money. And I think when we start understanding that it's not always about money, right? And a lot of that is like, is gonna come, that the real equity is our internal self, our mindset, our embodiment, and our behaviors, right? Keep that in mind, mindset, embodiment, behaviors, because if we can easily have the poverty and scarcity mindset, and then that turns into embodying the being of poverty and scarcity, and then acting from a place of poverty and scarcity, then we can also embody the mindset, and we can also have the mindset and embodiment of, and the behaviors of self-worth, of self-love, of health is wealth, right? Of boundaries, of all the things that we probably weren't taught. I wasn't taught boundaries. And now I'd be throwing them things out like Uno cards. I was never taught boundaries. I was never taught boundaries. And somewhere in my journey to understanding boundaries, I was afraid to set them because I thought I was not going to be loved, that I would not be liked. That was a scarcity mentality of what I felt like I deserved, and what I was afraid to lose, and what I felt like I needed to sacrifice to have people in my life. I don't want people in my life. I want the right aligned people in my life. I don't want relationships just for the sake of having relationships. I don't want to keep 20-year friendships just the sake of saying I've had this friend for 20 years. And it's keeping me in a impoverished and scarce mentality and embodiment. I don't want to stay at a job just to say that I stayed at a job for a 401k or any of that. Because the way I am wired, and I had to understand this along the way, that it's not like it was always seen as a negative thing. And I see it as my superpower. The way I am wired, if I stay somewhere too long and I'm not learning anything, I'm not able to be expressive, I'm not able to create, I'm not able to have an opinion, I'm not able to have constructive feedback, I'm not able to grow and develop skills and talents and contribute to teams and have what I say actually be heard and not be disgusted with, right? And I mean, that last part, like, that's going to happen just because I don't even care about that. I'm not staying. That's a relationship. That's a job. That's in communities. That's anywhere. One thing I can say, I done been in some trifling ass relationships. And they were all short. But you know why they were short? Because I didn't want to, because I realized quickly, and maybe not quick enough, where my value was, and it wasn't there, that I wasn't being valued, right? I've done some dumb shit in, there's only two on one hand that I can name, and I can say those names loud and clear for those relationships, 9-9, right? And a lot of my relationships have ended quickly, my romantic relationships have ended quickly because I realized they were places that I did not need to be. I was not being valued. I was not being seen for my full self. I was not being loved the way that I wanted to be loved. even if I was still learning myself, like learning how to love myself. Wherever Ashley was at that point in time with her journey of love, that other person was not matching it. Don't know why I'm there. We're talking about hustle is worth. Well, yes, I know why I'm there, right? Even, I mean, I talk about often that savior complex and people pleasing. That's part of the hustle is worth. We'll do any and everything for everybody else and neglect self. Your values are your internal values should be reflecting the embodiment and mindset of who you believe you are, should be like the behaviors of that should be reflective as well, right? Your values and your value are internal. They are not external. So when we're talking about hustle culture, right, where it's survival in disguise. It's survival in disguise. I hear people often, like a lot of people, like will have this conversation with me about, you know, they're grateful for their job, but they know that this is not it for them, and they're working all the time and this and a third, but they know that they have other things that they want to do and there's other gifts that they want to utilize and all these other things. And I'm like, well, then just start. Just start. You don't have to be crazy like me and just quit your 9-to-5, right? I like some days I'm like, that was still a bad decision, but God has carried me through since then. And I've seen the evidence that that was still the right decision for me. Right? Might not be the right decision for you. Sit with that. But I get this conversation often. Right? I get this conversation often. Like people are constantly asking me, what is this? And a lot of the times I ask them, what are they willing to surrender? What are they willing to let go? And the one thing people are going to have to be willing to let go is hustling, right? So I'm still hustling. I'm just also giving myself an ample amount of time to rest. My hustle does not look like what hustle culture is and continues to be, where we're moving from this place of survival, right? To the point where some people don't even realize they're exhausted because now exhaustion has become a part of their identity. Exhaustion is the result of always striving. You can strive and not have to tire yourself out. Imagine always driving your car and not taking care of it, and then boom, now you don't have a car. Then what? Then what? I've never seen a well-rested woman until I became one. I never seen a well-rested Black woman until I rose up as one. We're going to take a break and I will be right back. Nice big inhale and exhale. Survival may have gotten us here, but thriving is what will carry us into joy. Moving into this next segment, choosing to thrive. So, what does it look like when we're choosing to thrive? And how do we choose thriving over surviving, even if the patterns have been given to us? One, like I said, we have to recognize what those patterns are. Can you recognize what those patterns are, right? And just start building your awareness. What is so common between you and some of the other women in your family, or some of the other men in your family, or other people in your family, that they've seemed to accept and be okay living in? And you're looking at it like, oh, no, I don't like this. This doesn't feel good to me. That is where it starts. Does it feel good to you and your body and your system, your internal system? So the first way we can start choosing to thrive is working through releasing the scarcity and poverty mindsets, narratives, the embodiment of it, and shifting those behaviors, right? So starting with the releasing of the scarcity mindsets and those narratives, start reframing, right? I've always heard there's never enough, there's never enough, there's never enough, right? So reframing has been a beautiful practice for me when I start slipping into some of those spaces of why is this happening to me? I can't do this. This, I don't have this, all of those. Instead, I would reframe, right? So if the narrative has always been there's never enough, there's never enough love, there's never enough money, there's never enough time, there's never enough that. Instead, say, I am supported. I have everything I need and I am resourceful, right? Instead of saying, I never have enough or there is never enough, shift it to, I am supported. I have everything I need and I am resourceful. Start playing tricks with your fucking mind. Start setting your mind and your energy and your body and your DNA up to do something different. Start aligning your words with the actual behaviors that need to change. Because when you start moving into this, I'm not enough, or there's never enough, or well, let me switch that. When you've been constantly saying and constantly hearing there's never enough, right? That becomes to internalize into I'm not enough. So then you keep hustling a little bit more. You keep striving a little bit more. You keep diving in a little bit more. But when you reframe that never enough into I am supported, I have everything I need, and I am resourceful, fill into that. Take a moment to even journal. What is a narrative that you keep repeating, right? What is a narrative that you probably even grew up hearing all the time, and how you can reframe that? When we reframe into the present moment of right now, of what we have is enough, you have everything that we need, that you need, and that you are resourceful, you allow abundance, right? Because we're choosing thriving. And one of my favorite scriptures is the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come so that you may have life and have it more abundantly. We were here to live an abundant life. So when we start reframing, we're one, telling our mind that whatever narratives you've told me are true are no longer valid. Rip that piece of paper up. Two, that what we've believed for ourselves, the embodiment and the energy of that narrative is no longer relative. And three, that the behaviors that we once lived in that came from hustling and showing our worth through what we do all the time, and that we are poverty, that we are scarcity, and moving as such, right? Snatching up breadcrumbs to try and make a whole loaf instead of waiting for the whole loaf, right? I keep hearing the fresh manna, or making or seeing what gifts we have, right? That the part where it says I am resourceful. You have the ability and the gifts that were given to you from before you entered your mother's womb to create abundance, to fulfill your needs instead of hustling for it and tiring yourself out, trying to strive for something that may not even be what you're destined for, what you're supposed to do, right? And then when we're choosing to thrive, we also want to hold gratitude, right? We're talking about those generational traumas and those patterns that are not serving our highest and greatest good. When those things meet us, and we're the one in our bloodline to break it, to change it, to alchemize that. I'm looking at this thing on my wall now that I wrote that says, "Life is generous to those who pursue their personal legend." That's from the book The Alchemist. Then, like, we also have to have the gift of gratitude, right? Understanding that if it wasn't for the sacrifice, right? Maybe even the oppression that brought this different kind of grit out of my ancestors to build. And it's not that they didn't want to heal. That was healing for them to be able to work, to read, to write, to go to school. That was healing for them. Every generation is going to take it a step further and turn it up a notch. So we have to honor our ancestors without recreating their pain, right? And we shouldn't want to recreate their pain. I mean, some of what our story is in this lifetime is transferred from what they haven't healed. So we're not necessarily recreating it, and we don't want to recreate it. Some of you are recreating what your parents went through. Some of you are recreating what your ancestors went through. Some of you are recreating what some of the family members around you and in your lineage never talked about that they went through, that they swept under the rug. 111, right? Honoring their sacrifices, understanding that thriving is a fulfillment of their prayers. They prayed for someone like you, baby girl. They prayed for your gifting. My ancestors prayed for me to be able to have a voice to break the silence on sexual abuse, on domestic violence, on single motherhood, on relationships with your mother, on purpose, on healing the mind, body, and the spirit. I know my ancestors prayed for me. I am an answered prayer. I am an answered prayer. I am an answered prayer. I am an answer to their prayers. That's not me being egoic either. I know I am. I don't call myself the pink sheep for no reason. There's writers in my family. When my grandmother was living, we talked a lot about, like, when I started really getting into writing and understanding that this is one of my giftings and what I'm meant to do. And I would read some of my stuff to my grandmother. She would tell me, you know, there's writers in our family. Some of her great, I mean, family members I haven't even met. One that I have that works at, she works at a university in Maryland. So you have to know that you are a prayer. And sometimes things get shaken up and all over the place, and you know, the destruction, right? But it's that tower card moment. Some things gotta break open and be destroyed. And you were the one to endure it because you could. Because you could. Choosing to thrive, choosing a life different than what your parents had, choosing a life that is different and apart and separate from what the expectations of your family are, is not being ungrateful. It's not you being lazy. It's not you saying that whatever your ancestors went through doesn't matter. What it means is you are doing something different that has encompass their struggle to get to where you need you to get to you, and you get to where you need to go, because you are the one breaking the mold. Right? You choosing to thrive and release the scarcity, release the poverty, not take scraps, is you choosing your value and your worth, and choosing your presence, and choosing to rest, and choosing to take care of yourself because you love yourself. You are an answer to their prayers. It's not a betrayal of their struggle. And they might see it as a betrayal to their struggle. But that's because they don't, they, like, there's an expectation of what you're supposed to be doing. But your expectation of what you're supposed to be doing can only come from God and from your soul, the GPS system that has been put inside of you. You don't have to hold and carry every storm. You don't have to. You have your own, and you have the ones that you have to cut now from your family dynamics, from your lineage, from whatever wasn't healed then. Take a nice big inhale and exhale, and we will be right back. And we are back for this last little segment. This has been good. Take a nice big inhale and exhale. Get me some Palo Santo. This last segment, we're going to really dive into what it looks like to redefine success for you and live in your true soul alignment. So I want to start here and let you know that even the trials are part of the alignment, right? I do this thing called the Soul Tribe every Tuesday morning, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time via Zoom. And it's for women who are healers, helpers, visionaries, creatives that need space held for them to... we do breath work, we do meditation, we have conversation, we do some journaling, right? To remember who we are and stay on our path. And one part of staying on the path is going through the healing, acknowledging the pain, moving through the emotions, the thoughts, the feelings, right? Being in that space of revitalizing connection to your truth, revitalizing connection to your emotions, honoring them, what they mean for you in that moment. No emotion is good or bad. They just are, right? And then shifting away from that, right? And yesterday, the cards that I pulled, it was like Ace of Wands came out first, and then the Strength card was reversed. There was another card reversed. I think it was like the Knight of Swords reversed. And then the Two of Pentacles was right side up. And it's like, okay, so we're moving into this new beginning, right? We're moving into this new definition of success and building our new standard of what life means for us. And doing all the things, right? We've got new creative projects on the horizon. Sorry, I'm moving around. We've got new creative projects on the horizon. We've got new ideas. We got, you know, we've done a lot of the clearing and the opening of all these new divine downloads that we got. We're you know, we're feeling the newness of this energy. And then boom, we get hit with some self-doubt. We're questioning if it's really us, if this is really the life that we're supposed to be living, if this is really for us, if this is what we are supposed to be doing with our lives. Guilty as charged here, because it was also for me. It wasn't just for the collective. I'm part of the collective. That was also for me, because I've this is the life that I have prayed for. Right now that it's here and I'm seeing, you know, some things aren't moving as quickly as I would like them to be, or You know, I'm getting downloads about how to reinvent certain things and do certain things, and then the fruit is the money, the Two of Pentacles, right? The Two of Pentacles, the money comes when we make a decision, when we make a choice, when we stop doubting ourselves, when we stop holding on to the scarcity mindset, the poverty mindset, that I'm not enough or there's never enough. Framing, right? Reframing, doing the work. So when we're talking about redefining success, what is success to you? Not what is success to your mother, your father, your aunts and uncles, your grandmother, your family, what success looks like for them, right? What does success look and feel like for you? Take a moment and think about that. What would it look and feel like? I think these are more journal questions, which I'm here for it. What would it look like to actually begin to choose joy and ease without guilt? Because we have to remember, thriving is our birthright, right? Thriving is our birthright. And again, it starts internally, right? I know everybody wants to be on a yacht laid out in the sun in Turks and Caicos. Trust me, that is on my vision board, honey. My vision board has like who my husband is, like what he looks like, what he does for a living, how much money he makes. My vision board has how much money I want to make, what I want my business to be bringing in, how I want my life to look for me and my son and this new man, like the nine, right? And the money will come once we do that internal work. Things are shifting. We have a lot of millionaires and people with money who are unhealthy, who are not emotionally wealthy, right? Who are not resting and taking care of their body. They're taking care of their families. Thank you. Thank you. And I want you here long. I want you here long. I want you to be able to enjoy the fruit. Right. So it was like that reading yesterday was it was spot on. Right. Because what it showed me was the alignment. You're in alignment when you allow yourself to move through those trials and those tribulations and those moments that self-doubt come up. You're out of alignment when you try to move around them. When you don't do the healing work, when you just stick to the same rhythm and behavior, sometimes trials and tribulations come up. Sometimes those moments of self-doubt and like the scarcity and the impoverished mindsets and narratives will start to pop up again to see what you're going to choose. Are you going to keep choosing the same behavior patterns that you've been choosing, that you say you don't want anymore, that your family has, that you've inherited from your family? Or are you going to keep choosing to move through it, sit with it, and do something different? A lot of things are going to pop up to test you, to test your integrity, to test and see if you are actually who you are claiming to be. Or are you still the same person? Because who you are shows up in your values, and your values show up in your behavior. How you behave is what people remember. They're not going to remember a word you say. They might, right? People are going to remember what you say, but they're going to always remember how you made them feel. If you made me feel safe, guess what? That's what I'm going to remember about you, is that you made me feel safe. If you made me feel unsafe and unprotected, guess the fuck what? I will never, ever be able to remember the $20 you gave me, but I will always remember that when it came down to it, you didn't protect me. You did not make me feel safe in your presence. That is also alignment. That is part of the alignment. We have to move away from this idea that alignment means everything is peachy cream and everything is all good and everything. No, because the trials are going to flow in too. Everything builds character. Everything builds character. Healing through those moments build character. I can tell you right now how much money I have in my bank account. But I'm not allowing it to make me a nasty person, a mean person, to take from anybody. I'm being taught a lesson right now. I'm being taught a huge lesson right now. And I'm being tested on how I'm framing the narrative around this moment in time. Only the people super close to me know what my situation is right now. And they still don't know. Why? Because every Tuesday, I still show up to hold space for my girls. For everyone that has said yes to the Soul Tribe. Because that is what I was called to do, is hold space for other people who are healers, helpers, and visionaries. Not forget why they are here. To make sure we are all staying on the same path and we have a community to come back to where we can remember our why and be filled with what we need to keep going. Just yesterday when we had this past Tuesday when we had Soul Tribe, someone said that they were still chewing on session from last week. I need this is my space, right? This is part of the alignment. I'm also choosing my joy. My joy is not attached to anything external. My joy is attached to me, right? Me reminding my son that, telling him, you are joyful Jez. You are not attached to your joy is not attached to anybody, not even me. I don't want my son's joy to be attached to me. Because God forbid I leave this earth, then what? I need him to know that his joy is within him and that his joy comes from God. A source that is within him. I want ease. I hate rushing. I don't like how it feels. I'm still late to stuff sometimes. Sometimes. Not all the time. But I hate rushing. I hate being like thrown all over the place. I do it enough in my own head. I don't want my physical body to do it either. I'm enjoying waking up when I want to. Now, I'm not waking up past 8 o'clock, right? But I'm not like, oh God, I gotta get up, right? I'm enjoying choosing the time that works for me to record this podcast. I'm enjoying going back to school. I'm doing things that I enjoy and that are going to edify me mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, relationally, all of it. Whether people are in alignment with it or not. But here's the thing. Until you're ready to have a conversation with me about what my life is doing, there's nothing for you to judge. There's nothing for you to talk about. Rest is another form of well, thriving is our birthright. It's not a privilege, right? I think we forget that sometimes. And alongside with joy, resting without guilt. Are you able to rest without guilt? Because I'll tell you now, rest and joy and moving with ease and owning who you are forms of resistance and restoration. We want to see success as alignment, peace, and fulfillment. So again, what is success for you? Is it more rest? Is it that you've allowed yourself to rest, right? I really want us to dig into that question because we keep seeing success as the money, the career, right? But what are the things that are going to sustain those? Those internal things that sustain those. Is your nervous system calm? Have you found a rhythm that helps keep your nervous system calm? What is your daily practice? I always can't come back to that. Are you taking care of your physical body? Are you taking care of your mental space? Are you resting? Like all of those things, to me, when I'm able to do them, feel like success, because then I'm telling my body, my container, that we're ready to hold what it is our career wants to do, what money wants to come in, what overflow of love wants to come in. Redefine success and measure success in love and joy and impact, not just from survival. Take a nice big inhale and exhale. Our affirmations for today: I am no longer surviving someone else's storm. Thriving honors my ancestors because I am what they prayed for. My ease is a sacred inheritance. My ease is a sacred inheritance, and I receive the generational joy that has been in my bloodline. I love you all for free. I hope this was fruitful. I hope this was helpful. I hope it gave you some things to journal, to think about, to really look at where you are now, what needs to be released, and how you can still honor your ancestors, right? Without taking on the recreation of their pain, of their stories. What is success for you? I love you all for free. Until next time.